Okay, we're just going to, today's daf is Yudalad. We're just going to review a little bit on Yugimel Mabez because we rushed through it at the end, and it was some Yisodos in Hilchas Kachim. So just review it for a couple minutes, and then we'll move on to daf Yudalad. Remember, the Mishnah had said that according to Rav Yehuda, there was a simon in the Beis HaMikdash, how to know when it was the fourth hour, when it was the fifth hour, when it was the sixth hour, when you could still eat. That's when two chalos, todos, psulos were on this top of this bench that everybody could see. When they removed one, then you knew that it was the fifth hour and you had to stop eating, but you could still get hanah from the chametz. And when they removed both chalos, psulos, so then that meant it was the sixth hour and you have to start burning and you could no longer get hanah. So the question was, why did they use psulos? Why do they use these chalos psulos? As you mentioned, the carbon toda is one of the few carbonos that comes with not only an animal, but with loaves. Some of them matzah, some of them chametz. 30 matzah, 10 chametz. So the Gemara asks, why did you use one of these chalos todas psulos for the simen? So the first answer that Rabbi Chanina gave was because carbon toda, as I just mentioned, has chametz in it. So you weren't allowed to bring a carbon toda on Pesach. You weren't even allowed to bring a carbon toda on Erev Pesach because of the principle of Emi V'in Kachim L'Beis HaPsul. Because you're not only going to have a couple of hours to eat it, but Chatzos already on Erev Pesach, you can't eat it anymore. So according to the first answer, you're not allowed to bring a carbon where there's a minimal time for you to partake of the carbon. And therefore, Erev Pesach is also out. So all the people, all of Bnei Yisrael who brought carbon as toda for the past 6 months, usually wait till you come to the Yerushalayim. So you can have so many carbon todas. They're all going to be brought on the 13th day of Pesach, because after Yontif, they're going to want to leave right away. They're going to have to get back to work. It takes 2 weeks to get back home. So that's what they're going to bring them all on the 13th day of Pesach. How many loaves you going to have? You're going to have so many extra loaves. So there was so many chalos psulos left over on the 14th day of Nisan. That's why you use one of those. So it was a practical reason there were so many of them. That was number one. Number two, let's read that again. Mishum Rabbi Yanai is number two. It's about the middle of the Yugimel Mabez. Rabbi Yanai Amru, Ksherus Hall, you really, they were not psulos. The Mishnah says they were ksheros, but they used kosher loaves. El of a maikari lu psulos. So why does the Mishnah then call them psulos? Shalo nishchat alein hazevach. Why are they called psulos? Because the animal, the carbon toda that it's brought with, wasn't shechted yet. In other words, as we said, the carbon toda is made up of an animal and made up of loaves. And there's a relationship between the two. The bread, the loaves, are only fully kadosh and even mutter to eat once you shech the animal. If you didn't shech the animal, so that it will never achieve its kedusha. So that's why it's called psulos, because the animal wasn't shechted. So therefore, it's never going to become kadosh, fully kadosh. You're never going to become kosher for you to eat. So the Gemara says, so why don't you shech the animal, you know, with the loaves? So the Gemara answers, no, you lost the carbon toda. If you lost it, you can't shech the animal, therefore you can't be makadish these loaves. So the Gemara says, big deal. So why don't you just bring another animal, find a different animal, team it up with these loaves, and then you'll have a wonderful carbon toda. So the Gemara says, no, that's not allowed. Because once you lose the animal, then your breads are forever not going to be able to become kadosh. The Amar Zutod of Zulachma, you have already designated the loaves and the bread. And Ukid the Rabba, the Amar Rabba Avar Alecha, maybe Lechem Acher. If you lost the breads of the carbon toda, then you can bring other breads. Why? Because the Iker is the animal. So as long as the animal's still there, you could have a substitute breads of the toda. Ain maybe toda Acheretz. But if your animal is lost, so then the whole thing is farfallen. It's lost. My taima lechem glal toda, the ain toda glal lechem, because the bread comes because of the toda, the ikker. So as long as the ikker is there, so then the tafel you can switch, you can substitute. But if the animal is lost, so then the breads are forever not able to be teamed up with animals, so then they're kosher now. But there's no animal for you to shecht with, so therefore you're going to have to wait a couple more hours, then eventually it's going to become puzzle. So because it's going to become puzzle, so that's why the Mishnah calls them puzzle even now. So the Gemara says, one second, there's still another way out that you don't have to use these breads, don't have to become pasul. They're not forever lost. V'nifra kinu, v'naf kinu l'chulin. Right now, as Rashi explains, right when you say to a couple of loaves or flour, I'm going to bring these loaves as carbon todas. So right then it achieves what's called kedushas damim. There are two types of kedusha when it comes to hekdash. Kedushas damim and kedushas haguf. Kedushas damim means it has the value that belongs to hekdash. Meaning, it's $10, it looks like an object, but inherently it doesn't have kedushas haguf. It doesn't belong to the Beis HaMikdash in the most extreme way yet. It's called kedushas damim. It still could be redeemed. You can still switch the kedusha off of it onto money and take that out to chulin. That's kedushas damim. Kedushas haguf means it's inherently kedusha and it can't be redeemed. So says the Gemara, right when I say these loaves should become kadosh for the carbon todah, so then these loaves have kedushas damim. It only achieves kedushas haguf and unable to be redeemed once the animal is shechted. If the carbon todah is shechted, now it achieves kedushas haguf. So the Gemara says the animal hasn't been shechted yet. So you're calling these psulos because the animal was lost and you're never going to be able to bring make it fully kadosh. So just be potent, redeem it, and then it won't be. Well, you won't have to throw them out. You won't have to burn them. So, but if for kiddo, but if kiddo lechulin. So the Gemara said, no, you're right. If you hadn't shechted the animal yet, that would be fine. Ela olam, really different shot. What happens here is shenishchat alein hazevach. You did shech the animal, the carbon todah, and therefore what? Therefore, the breads, the loaves, achieve kedushas haguf. They are inherently kadosh, and therefore they're unable to ever be redeemed. But you know what happens? You lacked stage two of the avoda. Usually, as we mentioned, there are dalida avodos of a carbon. Shechita, kabbalah, holacha, zrika. Shechita, shechting the animal. Kabbalah is catching the dam. Holacha is walking with the dam to the mizbeach. And zrika, sprinkling the dam on the mizbeach. So ultimately, you're not allowed to eat these breads until you do the sprinkling. Yes, it might become kadosh, kedushas haguf, when you do stage one, step one, the shechting. But until you do zrika, which is the ultimate stage of the animal, which brings kapara, so then, which makes it mutter to you to eat, in the case of carbon todah, so that wasn't done, because you know what happened? You shechted the animal, and the blood went straight on the floor. V'nishbach adam. So, says the Gemara, that's why you're not allowed to eat these carbon todahs. So yes, it's kedushas haguf, you can't redeem them, so that's why the Mishnah calls them pasul, because you're going to use them, and it's going to be unable to be partaken of. Ukiman ke Rebbe, and the Mishnah is following the Shita of Rebbe, who holds this idea that if you have two stages, a Shechita and a Zrika, just doing Shechita accomplishes something. Just doing Shechita will make it Kedushas Haguf, so you won't be able to redeem it anymore. Zrika, you're right, you'll need the Zrika to make it Mutter to you. But Rebbe is the opinion that holds that plain Shechita does accomplish something. To Amar Rebbe, as Rebbe says, by a similar case. We have a similar case where we have this relationship between loaves and an animal. We have it by carbon todah, but we also have it by one other place, and that's the special carbon we bring on Shavuos, the Shtei HaLechem, the two special loaves of bread that we bring on Shavuos, which is matir you to bring karbanos from the new produce. Remember, on Pesach you bring the carbon Omer, which is matir the Chadash outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But on Shavuos you bring the Shtei HaLechem, which is matir the Chadash in the Beis HaMikdash for karbanos. So that special carbon that's brought on Shavuos called the Shtei HaLechem also has with it animals called the Kivsei Atzeres, the sheep of Shavuos. Atzeres is Shavuos. So Rebbe says over there, Shnei Dvarim Hamatirin Malin Zebelozeb, where you have two acts that will eventually bring heter to the bread. For example, Shechita and Zrika. Even with just one of them, it will make the bread Kedushas Haguf. The Tanya, as the Braisa says in Menachos, Kivsei Atzeres, Ein Mekachin Es Alechem Ela B'Shechita. Kivsei Atzeres, these sheet that you bring on Shavuos, Ein Mekachin Es Alechem, the lechem, the bread, the Shnei Alechem, achieve Kedushas Haguf, even with just Shechita. Ketzad, what's the case? What are we talking about? Shachdam Lishman, Vizarak Daman Lishman. If you did everything beautifully, you did the Shechita Lishman. Lishman means Lishem, the carbon. You had perfect Kavana, and everything is going great. Vizarak Daman Lishman, and you do the Zrika perfectly, the Kiddush Alechem. Then, of course, the Lechem becomes fully Kadosh, Kedushas Haguf, and you can even partake of it. The Kohanim can now eat the Shnei Alechem. Shachdam Shalom Lishman, Vizarak Daman Shalom Lishman. But if you did everything wrong, let's say you did the Shechita, not Lishem, the proper carbon. You did the Zrika, not the Shein, the proper carbon. You were bringing your carbon Shavuos, and you're thinking the Kohen, when he brings it, is shechting it, l'shem, a carbon shlamim, his own carbon shlamim. So then says the Mishnah, said the Braisa, lo kiddush alechem, then the bread is not kadosh, because you didn't have the proper kavana in mind. Shba, what happens if you had one kavana? Shachlan lishman, vizarak damen shalo lishman, let's say you at least had a proper shechita. You did that lishma, that shechitas Rebbe, lechem kadosh, ve'eno kadosh, divi Rebbe. Rebbe says that does achieve certain kedusha. There is kedusha zaguf to the lechem, though of course, the lechem is not mutter for the kohanim to eat it, because you didn't do a proper zrika. But what do you see from shechitas Rebbe, where you have two stages, Shechita and Zrika, to achieve a certain heter? Shechita does accomplish enough to make it Kedushas Haguf, inherent Kedusha, and therefore it's unredeemable now from the Beis HaMikdash, from Hektish. So that's our Mishnah, which says, again, according to this opinion in our Gemara, Psulos doesn't mean Psulos, like the first opinion meant, it means become Psulos. That's talking about a case where you shechted the animal of the Karban Todah, but the blood spilled out on the floor, and therefore it achieves Kedusha Zaguf, is unredeemable, and that's why you're going to use this, because what else are you going to use it for? That's why you use this this loaf to be the simen in the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rabbi Yana, he's talking about even on Erev Pesach, so he, l'chora, doesn't hold to the principle of Ein Mevi'in Kadshin L'Beis HaPsul, because he's holding, you're talking about doing it on Erev Pesach, in Achinami. Now the Gemara continues, Reb Lezer, Reb Shimon Omer, finishing up that Braisa, Reb Lezer, Reb Shimon is the one that says, Shechita by itself does not accomplish Kedusha Zaguf. La'olam eino kadosh halechem, ashe yishcho lishman, v'yizok damon lishman. End of Braisa. So that's why the Gemara suggested that our Mishnah is only going like Rebbe, not like Reb Lezer, Reb Shimon, because Reb Lezer, Reb Shimon knows that you would need Shechita and Zrika to make this lechem kedusha zaguf. So then the Gemara said, no, maybe even the other opinion could agree to our Mishnah. Afilu tema Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Maybe even Reb Elazar Reb Shimon would agree in our Mishnah that it's called psulos and it has kedusha zaguf. Why? Because hacha b'mayas kinan. Maybe as I portrayed the case before was a mistake, was incorrect. What did I say before? Dalad avodas of a behema. Shech the animal, you catch the blood, Kabbalah, you walk the animal to the Mizbeach, and you do the Zrika, Shechita Kabbalah Halacha Zrika. So as I said before, maybe the blood spilled that you shechted it, and the blood went straight on the floor. Maybe that didn't happen. Says the Gemara, maybe Kagon Shinis Kabbalah Dambakos. Maybe you did catch the blood in a cup, and you're on your way to go do the Zrika, but then Benishbach, then it spills out. After it was already in the cup, in the klishares that you're going to do the zrika with, and Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, Sabar leKavua, and maybe Reb Elazar, this shita holds like his father, Reb Shimon, to Amar Kol HaOmi Lizrok Hazarok Dami. Maybe this opinion of Tanam holds this principle of if something is ra'ui to be sprinkled, so then it's as if it's sprinkled already. You don't actually need the sprinkling as long as it's ra'ui to be sprinkled. So maybe even Reb Shimon, who usually says that Shechita by itself is not enough, would agree in our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, it's as if you did the Zrika already. Because you didn't spill the blood straight on the floor from the Shechita. You did a proper Kabbalah. And there are some Shechitas that say that as long as you did a proper Kabbalah regarding certain halachos, it's as if it's Zarek already. Obviously, you didn't achieve Kapara yet. The bread is not going to be Mutter yet. You don't say it's Mamish as if it's sprinkled, but at least regarding bringing the bread into Kedusha Saguf, it's enough. It's considered as if it's sprinkled, and therefore our Mishnah could even follow Blaz Reb Shimon. Okay, that is all option two in explaining our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, which says Chalos Psulos, number one is that it's really possible, because it's from yesterday. There were a lot of breads around. Number two was Reb Yanai, that it's ksheros, but it's going to become pasul. And finally, number three, is that no, it's totally kosher. Tana Mishom Rabbi Elazar Amru, ksheros hayu. They were totally kosher loaves. And they weren't pasul. Question, why were they called, Rashi doesn't explain here, why were they called kosher? Maybe he's just arguing on our Mishnah. They use ksheros, kosher loaves. Kolz machu munachos, so kol ha'am ochlin. As long as they're both up there, then everybody used to eat. That's the fourth hour. Nidla achas mehan tolin v'lo ochlin. But if one of them was taken off, so then you know it's tolin v'lo ochlin, then you know it's the beginning of the fifth hour, and you have to start, it's the limbo stage where you can't eat, but you can still get hanah. V'lo sarfin, and you can't burn it yet. Nidlu shteyan is chilukulon sarfin. But if both of them are taken off, then you know you have to start burning. So he asks Tosus, what do you use kosher loaves for? You're just going to throw them out? You're just causing them to be burned? So Tosus explains at the bottom of Tosus, no, the point is, you're going to take off these loaves at the end of the fifth hour, and we know that there are certain opinions, like Rabbi Gamliel and Mishnah, that you could allow to eat Truma and Kachim at the end of the fifth hour. So you're going to take them off at the end of the fifth hour and quickly eat them. So that's the sheet. That's the shita, so that you're not just causing them to be nisraf. Okay, three different opinions. That's the summary of the Gimel Beis. Three opinions, what the pshat is of our Mishnah when it says psulos. Tanya, a different brisa, Abishal Omer, shtei paros hayu charshos bahara mishcha. Really, there were two cows that were allowed to graze on the Har HaMishcha. Har HaMishcha is Har HaZesim, right? Mishicha. Mishicha is B'Shemen HaMishcha. Mishicha is oil. So there were two cows, I guess, and they were visible to everybody. Kol Zman Shashen Charshos, as long as they were both still allowed to graze. Kol Am Ochlin, This was the sign. They didn't use loaves. They used these paros. So as long as they were both still grazing, that everybody knew it was still the fourth hour, and you were still allowed to eat chametz. Nitalas achas man, once one of them was taken away, tolon lochem lo sarfin. That's when it's the limbo stage, and you don't eat, and though you don't burn yet, nitlushtei and eskilu kalam sarfin. Okay, so this is just a different simon brought in the Gemara to what they did in the Beis Hamikdash. Fine. We are up to Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, the next seven blot of the Sekhas Psachim, from Daf Yudala till the end of the parak, till Daf Chavalav, is known as the Sugya Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. It's usually what's skipped over when they learn Psachim in the yeshivas. This is some of the Yesodos of Tumah and Tahara. And this is something that you have to focus on. And again, we'll get back to regular Psachim, the rest of the Masechta, from Daf Chaf Aleph. But these seven blot are really, there are three or four. The Rambam writes in his Hakdama to Seder Taharos, which is his longest Hakdama of all the Sedarim. And he considers it his most important Hakdama. He writes that there are four or five sugyas and shas which you have to learn well. And that one of them is the seven blot at the end of the first Berakim Psachim. The Rambam goes through. Beautiful. If you ever have time, it's long, but it's clear. It goes through all the different rules and regulations. We're going to mention some of them now of Tumah and Tahara. And the Rambam mentions at the end of his Hakdama. Hey, Vesi Lecha Kozvar Malalu. I spent a lot of time on this, says the Rambam. And I once had a professor in yeshiva. I took a course about the history of the Rishonim, and he said that the more than any other of the parts of Mishnah of the Pirush Mishnayos, we have the most kisvayad of the Rambam's Pirush Mishnayos on Taharis. It seems like he did that more than any of the others, and he did it over and over and over again. It seems like he loved it so much, this Tumah and Tahara, that he spent the most time on it, and that's why it's the most comprehensive one of the commentaries on his Mishnah, Dafkan Seder Taharis. Again, it's in a lot of the yeshivas, a lot of the brisker yeshivas, they learn dafka kachim and taharis. Why do they dafka learn kachim and taharis? Like in yeshivas brisker Yerushalayim, they only learn kachim. Why? Because in kachim and taharis, it's an area of halacha which is uniquely halachic. Right? There's no parallel in modern life for kachim and taharis. So that's why it's a special opportunity. It's a unique opportunity to really understand the Dvar Hashem when you're osig in Kachim and Taharis, because there's nothing like it. There's no practical svaras that you could give like in Orach Chaim or in Choshe Mishpat where there is a parallel to life. In Kachim and Taharis, there's no parallel to life, and therefore that's why it's a great opportunity to really study the Dvar Hashem. That's why Kachim and Taharis is specifically learned. So we have an opportunity, at least for the next week, to study some Tumah and Tahara. And the Rambam writes at the end of his Pirush Mishnayos, Vehevesi, I spent a lot of time on this. Kedei shelo yala al dai techa. Don't think, says the Rambam, Shahadibur b'inyanim eile, kemo hadibur besukka, o lulav, o shvuas hashomrim, o shvuas hadayanim. Don't think you're learning Nezikin here. Don't think you're learning Arachayim here. V'tabit ala b'in rishon, v'tadame shekvar hisag tamashu. Don't think you could dafyomi it up, and then spend 50 minutes on every blot, and you'll think you got it. Says the Rambam, if you really want to get this, it's not like those other sugis. You have to spend a lot of time on it. Don't think it's light. And don't think, lo husak shum klal mehem el acher. He said, I myself, says the Rambam, I didn't get any yesod from it. El acher shiagati bo yagia gedola bibiru lechol stada. Therefore, I spent a lot of time on it, but it has to, says the Rambam, it has to become as clear to you as any other mesechta. Just because, you know, we're not taught Tumah and Tahara as much as we're taught the other mesechtas, doesn't mean anything. Beis Hashem, Mashiach's going to come today, and we're going to have to know Tumah and Tahara, just like we're going to have to know Orach Chaim and Choshe Mishpat. It's very halachah l'maisa. The Chavetz Chaim is very, very encouraging of learning Kachem and Tahara. He says, what's going to happen? Mashiach's going to come, we're not going to know anything. We're not going to even know what an Avatomu. We're not going to know, we're Kohanim. We're not going to know, we're not Kohanim. We're going to have the Kohanim over. We're going to walk in the street. We're going to have to know all this. So he says, matter that we have to start now. So anyways, that's why the Rambam talks about the significance and the importance of learning Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara. Okay, a couple of Ha'aris by way of introduction. Again, some of this we've discussed in the past, but just to review. We know Tumah works. It can be contracted from one person to the other. The highest level of Tumah is a corpse, a dead body, and that's the source of all Tumah and Tahara is really from Baalei Chayim. The Rambam writes at the beginning of his Hakdama, live things, rocks can't be the source of Tumah. Tumah comes from something that was alive or is alive. That's why a dead body is the highest level of Tumah, that's called Avi Avos, the grandfather of all Tumah. Something that comes in contact with a dead body is called an Avatum. If I touch a dead body, I'm an Av. Tumah always goes down a level when it's contracted. There are a few exceptions, but that's generally the rule. If I touch an Avi Avos Atumah, a grandfather of Tumah, then I'm an Avatumah. There are 10 other Avatumahs. You look at the first Perek in Mishnah is Kalim. Kalim is the longest Masechta in Shas. In Shisa and Mishnah, it's 30 Prakim. If you look in the first Perek of Kalim, which is the first Masechta in Taurus, it lists all the Avos Atumah. Nevela, a dead animal which wasn't Shechted, a Sheret, certain types of insects, a Zav, a Zava, Yoled. So all these, there are many types of Avos Atumah. But one of them is a Tamemeis, somebody who touches a dead body. That's an Avatumah. Then you could, somebody touches a, if something touches a, an Avatumah, they become a Rishon Atumah. Rishon is the next step level from Av. A Rishon is also called a Vlad Atumah. Vlad is a baby. Right, an Av is a father, a Vlad is a baby. So a Rishon Latuma is also called a Vlad Hatuma. That's what our Gemara is going to call it. If somebody touches a Rishon, it could become a Sheni Latuma. And then it goes on, Shlishi and Revi as well. Shlishi and Revi are unique in that only Truma can become a Shlishi. Something that is more holy is more susceptible to Tuma. If you just have regular Chulin, regular unconsecrated food, then the most tummy you could get is a Sheni Latuma. If a dead body touches not a dead body, because that'll jump up to be an Av. But the most that the chulin can become is a sheni. It can't become a shlishi or a vi. Truma can become a shlishi because it's more kadosh, therefore it's more susceptible to tuma. Hektish could even become a revi. And that's the lowest level of tumah that we could get. We go from aviyavos atumah, av, rishon, sheni, shlishi for truma and kachim, revi only for kachim. That is hakdama number one to tumah and tara. Number two, there are two words that our Gemara are going to use regarding tumah and tara. If the Gemara calls something tameh, that means not only is it tameh, but it also can make something else tameh. That's what the word tameh means in the Gemara. If the Gemara uses the word pasul, it means it itself is tamei, but it's at the end of the line. It can't make anything else tamei. Those are the two words of tamei and pasul, as we'll see in the Gemara. Okay? That is all for introduction that we need for now. Now we could get into the sugya. Why are we getting into this sugya now? As we'll see at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer, Rabbi Chanina, the assistant Kohen, says, assistant Kohanim, the Rambam talks in Ilchus Klei HaMikdash. If we have time at the end, I'll read it to you. It talks all about the duties of the assistant Kohen Gadol. He was the Kohen Gadol's right-hand man. He stood next to him, he was like a shamus. Right, the shamus of a big rebbe, so he always does, he runs around for him, he talks to people, lets people in. So he was the skan of the Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Chanina skan of Kohanim Omer, miyameyam shal Kohanim, lo nimnu mi lisrof es habasar shenitma bivlad hatuma, im habasar shenitma ba'av hatuma. So Rabbi Chanina skan of Kohanim, when they used to burn meat of a carpet that became tamei or became pasul had to be burned. So says the, there are a lot of burning, besides the karbanos that you burned on the mizbeach, there were a lot of other meats that had a problem with it. Either they became tamei or pasul that you had to burn. So are you allowed to burn a bunch of meats together? So says Rabbi Chanina skan of Kohanim said, they didn't not, meaning they did burn meat that had become tamei from a vlad hatumah. What's a vlad hatumah? We mentioned a vlad is a rishon latumah. So meat that became tamei from a vlad hatumah is a sheni. So they didn't burn, they burned meat that was sheni latumah with meat that was became tamei from an av hatumah, meaning meat that was a rishon. They used to burn sheni latumah meat with a rishon latumah meat. After all, you're burning it anyway. So what's the big deal if it becomes a little more tamei when you're burning it? So meat that was a sheni latumah, they used to burn with meat that was a rishon latumah. Afal pisha mosif tumah al tamaso. Even though you're making it more tamei as you're burning it, they still used to burn it together. So that's the first question the Gemara is going to ask. How are you making it more tamei? If you're burning a sheni with a rishon, so what's the sheni going to become? A sheni, right? It's not become a rishon. A rishon makes a sheni. So you're not making anything more tamei. So that's going to be the Gemara's first question. We're going to have to rethink the Mishnah. But that's what the Mishnah says. Rabbi Chanina skan of Kohanim says they used to burn tamei meats together, even though different levels of tumah. Hosef Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says a parallel idea. The Yamar, not only it applies to meat, but it applies to the oils that they used to burn in the Beis HaMikdash. Miyamein shal Kohanim, in all the days of the Kohanim, lo nimnu milahadlik es hashemen, she nifsal b'tvul yom, they used to burn oil that became pasul from a tvul yom. A tvul yom is somebody who was tamei, who went to the mikvah, and who was waiting for sunset in order to become tahar. For our purposes, what we need to know now is a tvul yom is considered a sheni. That's what we need to know about a tful yom for now. A tful yom is considered a sheni latuma until sunset. So, let's say oil that became possible from a tful yom, that is a shlishi, because a tful yom is a sheni. So, oil that was a shlishi, says Rabbi Akiva, they used to burn b'ner shenitma b'tamei meis. They used to burn in a candelabra that became tamei from tamei meis. Again, tamei meis is a rishon. A meis is an avi avavot. I'm sorry, tamei meis is an av. So, something that touched a tamei meis, a ner that touched a tamei meis, is a Rishon. A Tamei Meis is an Av, and the Ner is a Rishon. So Rabbi Kiva is saying they used to burn Shlishi Latuma oil in a Ner that was a Rishon Latuma. So that we already understand. Avavisha Mosiva Tuma Tumasa, even though it became more Tamei, right? Because here, it's going to become more Tamei. You're burning a Shlishi with a Rishon, so the Shlishi says the Rishon, the Shlishi is going to become a Sheni. So that's Rabbi Kiva's Chiddush. So we're going to have to go back to the first case in a minute. So that's Rabbi Kiva used to say, not only by the meat, the kachin, but also by oil. Amar Rabbi Meir, so now we're going to get to why this is run up here. Rabbi Meir says, a similar idea is we know that you're going to burn all your chametz before Pesach. You're going to burn all your chametz before Pesach. Rabbi Meir says, you don't have to worry when what you're burning with what. Midevrayim lamanu, from these great other Tanoim, we learn, shesarf and shumat tahor and tamei b'Pesach. Erev Pesach, you're burning all your stuff. You're allowed to burn Tahar Truma and Tamei Truma together. There's also not only a mitzvah to burn Tamei Kachim, there's also a mitzvah to burn Tamei Truma. So just like in the prior cases, you don't have to be worried about making something more Tamei as it's burning. So too, says the Remeir, by Truma Tahora and Truma Tameya, you don't have to worry about making it more Tamei. Even though usually there's an Isser Dalraisa to be Matamei Truma. But here, as Rashi explains, because it's going Li'ibud anyway, you don't have to worry about making something more Tamei. It is an extension, as the Gemara is going to talk about. Seth is saying, Yisrael is saying that it's an extension. I have five Adams in my shir this month. So now I'm calling them by their first names. By their Hebrew, I said, come on, your Hebrew names. I have all five Adams. Okay, so Avram Chaim, Avram Mordechai, they're all Avram, doesn't help me. But anyway, so Baruch Hashem. So says Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Yisrael is right, because that this is an extension, because you're talking about Tahar Truma. You're being Matami Tahar Truma. So the Gemara is going to talk about that. And Rabbi Yossi himself argues, Om Rabbi Yossi, Eini Yamita. No, that's not true. You can't, that extension is a jump. It's a jump, as the Gemara is going to talk about. Umodim, Rabbi Yossi says, yes, I'll agree to you in one case. Umodim, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lazar both agree, Shesar v'zulat v'zulat. We have to burn the Truma separately. You can't burn Truma Tahor and Truma Tameya together. Alma Nechlegu, what's the only possibility that I'll allow you? And what's the machlokas? Al hatluya v'al tameya. If you have suffek, Tamei Truma. That's Tuluya. It's hanging. If you have Sabik Tamei Truma and Tamei Truma, that there's an opinion that would allow it. Shabbalazar Omer deserves Zulasbab Zulasba. Rabbi Eliezer still says that even there you have to burn it separately. Rabbi Shua Omer Shtan Ka'achas. Rabbi Yeshua said no, you could burn them both together. Okay, that is the machlokes about the extension to Truma Tahora and Truma Tamei. The reason that you're burning is you're burning your chametz. Right. Even Shrumas chametz you have to burn. Right, the mitzvah to burn Shumas Chametz. Also, the question is, are you allowed to be metameit on the way? Fine. Something else to say on the Mishnah, but let's first continue. We'll see that time. Yeah.
Why does Rabbi Yosef bring as a proof Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua?
They were earlier Tanaim. He brings them as a proof just to say that they agree to me that if you have Truma Tahora, you can't burn it with Truma Tameya. He says that these earlier great rabbis, they had an argument about suffix Truma Tameya. But by real Truma Tahora, it's pure Truma, of course you can't burn it together. That's why he just brings the earlier Tanaim to back him up. It's a good question. Could a later Tana disagree with an earlier Tana? So we've discussed that. We had a shiur about that, about who could argue on who. Make your adin yes. If they're both Tanaim, we usually say that, yeah. Rav is already, Rav was on the border, the Gemara says, between the Tanaim and the Amorim. And the Gemara says, Rav Tana Upalig. There, even Ra, who is the latest Tana, is allowed to argue on other Tanaim. So surely other Tanaim is allowed to argue. So you're right. So what's the big proof? So I don't agree with that Tanaim. Okay, but you can say there are a lot of rabbis that agree to me. That's what I'm basically saying. So says the Gemara, the question that we said. Michti. Let's go back to the first case. What was the first case of Rabbi Chanina? That you're allowed to burn Kadshim, right? Absar, Tamei meat. That is Sheni with Tamei meat that is Rishon. That's what the that's what it ended up being. So the Gemara says, Michli, what's the big deal? Basa shizbavlada tuma mayhave, basa that became tame from a vlad. A vlad, remember, is the synonym for a rishon. Basa that became tame from a rishon mayhave sheni. That's a sheni latuma. Kisarfle bahadi basa shizbaba avatuma. When you burn that with meat that became tame from an avatuma mayhave, so you're burning it with a rishon, so what's it going to become? Sheni. So sheni vishenihu. So it didn't change. So my mosif lo tuma tumaso ika. What does the Mishnah mean? That I, even though you're being mosif tuma, it's a, what do you mean it's allowed? Of course it's allowed. You're not making it worse. It started off as a sheni, and it's going to end up as a sheni. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, you're right. Change the case. Hacha, what does it mean that it became tummy from a vlada tuma? It really means, hacha bivlad vlada skinan. It became tummy from a grandchild, a vlad vlad, which means a sheni. It became tummy from a sheni, meaning you're burning a shlishi latuma with a rishon. So that's why it's going to become a sheni. That's the hosafa. The havilei shlishi. You're burning meat that's a shlishi latoma. V'kasavar, and this shita, Rabbi Chanina holds, shlishi mutar lasos a sheni. Right, shlishi can make a sheni. Shlishi, I'm sorry, shlishi, you're allowed to make a shlishi into a sheni when you're burning it anyway. So that's the chiddush. We're going to have to talk about it in a second. That's the exact same case as the second case. What's the chiddush then of the second case? The Gemara will ask that in a few minutes. But anyway, that's the ukimta of case number one. You're burning a shlishi with a rishon, so the chiddush is that you're allowed to become a sheni. Says the Gemara, yeah. Right, it's already tuma, but still, there are still different levels of tuma. There's even, I mean, we pass in like a kohen, bismana says not allowed to go into a beis hakvaros. Right, he's already tuma mace. He's walked over 1,000 beis hakvaros, 1,000 cemeteries in his life. The answer is you can't make yourself more tuma. It's a question. How could he make himself more tame? So that's a question. We paskin, though, that a kohen can't do that. We paskin that every level of ritual impurity of tuma is being metame it more, so to speak. So that's why the levels are important. So says the Gemara. So we've said that's the case. The shlishi becoming a sheni. Says the Gemara. 1 second. V'ha'in ochel matame ochel. There's a different principle. Food can't be matame food. Food can become tame from a person. Food can become tame from a kli. But if food can't be matami another food, Ditanya is the and here you talk about two foods, meat and meat. Ditanya, as the Brisa says, Yochel ye ochel matami ochel. I might have thought that food can be matami food. Tama lomar v'chi yutan mayim al zera, when water falls onto a zera. Right, this is something we've spoken about before. The concept of huchshar lakabel tuma, something has to become wet in order to become be able to become tame from the seven mashkim, but not from mitav l'asam alav. After it becomes wet and nevela falls on it, right, on a part of an animal that was not shechted, tamehu. That's mitame the zera. Zera is seed. Zera is an example of food. Hu tame vein ozakayotzi b'tame. And the drasha is that it can make the food tame, but food can't make the food tame. Only a nevela can make the food tame. So we're stuck. So what's the case of the Mishnah? How can meat be matame meat? So honey chalabaya da amar lo shanela b'chulin. Abaya who limits that drasha it fits in, because Abaya says food can't be matame food when you're talking about chulin. Aval truma v'kachim osa kayotzibo. But by truma and kachim, food can be matame food. Then it's no problem, because our Mishnah is about kachim. Ulevada barava mishay the rava nami da amar lo shanela chulin v'truma v'kachim osa kayotzibo hen shapir. And according to Ravada barava also, because he says at least by kachim you say food can be matame food. Ela ravina mishay the rava. But according to Ravina, the name of Rava, who says that loshna chulin, loshna truma, loshna kachim, ena ozakayotzebo, that never food can never be matame food. So Michael Amemar. So we're stuck. We're back to our case. What's the case of the Mishnah that food is matame food? So the Gemara says, "Hachamayaskinan diika mashkin bahade basar." The meat has some gravy on it. The meat has some liquid on it. We know when it comes to tuma and tara, there are four types of objects: people, animals. People and animals are balei chayim. Let's put them all together. People, animals. Let me just backtrack for a second. Animals cannot become tummy when they're alive. Only people can become tummy when they're alive. So animals is really doesn't apply. It's really when they're dead. But people, kalim, ochlin, mashkin. Those are the four categories of items when it comes to tuma tara. People, kalim, ochlin, mashkin. So I guess animals would be part of the ochlin. So says the Gemara, you're right, food can't be matami food, but liquids, mashkin, has a separate halacha than foods, so this meat has some liquid on it, and that's how the liquid is going to be matami the other meat. So the Gemara says, so it's going to become tame from the mashkin. So it says the Gemara, so the language of the Mishnah doesn't really work. Ihachi, hi, what the Mishnah says, you're allowed to burn meat, im habasar shenitva ba'avatuma, it's not really basar, it's im habasar umashkin mi boilei. It should be with basar and mashkin, because the mashkin is really what's being matame it. So the Gemara says, Ella, you're right. Fine. Mi d'oraisa, you can't be talking about a din d'oraisa, because the Mishnah says food, and food to food is not matame. So it must be on a d'rabanan level. Ela nehide inocha matame ochel. Mi d'oraisa, mi d'rabanan miu matame. At least on a d'rabanan level, ochel bi matame ochel. And that's the chiddush of the Gemara, that you're allowed to violate baking something tame mi d'rabanan in order to do the tashbisu mi d'oraisa. Fine. That is all about case number one of the Mishnah. Next. Hosef Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had added on the next case. Remember, what was Rabbi Akiva's case? You're allowed to burn oil that became tummy from its full yom. So its full yom is a sheni. So you're allowed to burn shlishi oil with rishon oil. That was the case of Rabbi Akiva. Shlishi oil with rishon oil. Meaning, so the shlishi is going to become a sheni. So says the Gemara now. Michdi shemesh nifsal b'tful yom may have a shlishi. Oil that became tummy from its full yom is a shlishi, because its full yom is considered a sheni. V'chi madlik lei b'ner shenitma b'tameh meis may have. And when you light it with a candelabra, with a candle that touched the tummy mace, what is it? A sheni. So it's going to be, something that touches the tummy mace is a rishon. So when it touches this oil, it's going to be a sheni. So my kamashmulan, shlishi mutar lasos a sheni. So what's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva? That you're allowed to make a shlishi into a sheni? Haynuach, that's exactly the case number one, according to the way we just explained it. We said case number one, what's the chiddush of case number one? Isn't a sheni to a sheni? So we ended up saying, no, it's really a shlishi becoming a sheni. So that's the same case as Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva adding to the first case of the Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hacha b'ner shama teches askinon. Says Rabbi Yehuda, an important yisod in Hilchos Sumah Tara, which we'll talk about a little bit if we have time. We're talking about a metal ner. So what? What's a metal ner? There's a special chiddush when it comes to a ner shama teches by Tumah Tara. The Rachmana Amar learned that from a pasuk in Parshas Chukas, b'chalal cherev. The pasuk says, the sword that was used for killing, b'chalal cherev, a corpse that was killed by a sword, cherev harehu kechalal. A sword is like the dead body. What does that mean? This is an exception to the rule of Tumah Tara. Usually, as we said, Tumah Tara always goes a step down. If you touch a dead body, you're an Av. If you touch an Av, you're a Rishon. If you touch a Rishon, you're a Sheni. It always goes down. There are a few exceptions. This is one of them, called cherev harehu kechalal. The sword is like the dead body. If the sword touches a dead body, if something metal touches the dead body, so then the sword is itself avi avos hatuma. If a sword or a kli touches a tame mace, somebody who touches the dead body, then that sword is tame mace. That sword achieves the level of av hatuma. That's a special chiddush haTorah. It's a din d'oraisa, cherev harehu kechalal, which we'll talk about a little bit. There's a lot of discussion in the achronim on this din, which we'll talk about. I just want to make sure to finish the daf, and then we'll come back to talk about it. Yeah. Why didn't the Gemara? That this is a din d'oraisa, and earlier we said it's a d'rabbana, because maybe it's going on the prior ukimta that wasn't so bothered by that question. So says the Gemara, we're going to ask another question on this in a minute anyway. So says the Gemara, that's the case of the Mishnah. So we thought the case was that you're burning a shlishi with a rishon, so therefore the shlishi is going to become a sheni, and we said that's the same case as the first case. So we say, no, this is a case you're burning a shlishi with an av. Right, because here we're talking about a nair. The Gemara says you're burning with a nair that touched somebody who was tummy mace, but that nair now becomes the level of tummy mace. Somebody's tummy mace, somebody who touched a dead body, that's an av. So that's the case we're talking about. Bahabule avatuma. This candle that you're burning with is an avatuma. So you're burning a shlishi with an avatuma. So the shlishi is becoming a rishon even. So that's a chiddush. To say that a shlishi, you're allowed to make a shlishi into a sheni, not only that, you're allowed to make a shlishi into a rishon. V'ksaber mushlishi mutalas osa rishon. Yeah? Well, no, we're saying that you're allowed to do that. That's the Kiddush. The Kiddush is, the first part of the Mishnah, you're allowed to make a shlishi into a sheni. That was the first part. Now we're saying you're allowed to make a shlishi even into a rishon. Allowed to make a shlishi even into a rishon, so that's the Kiddush of Rabbi Akiva, that even that we allow you to do while you're getting rid of the chametz. There's a major machlokas, does it only apply to metal kalim, like the Gemara seems to say? Rashi and Tosfos all over the place say that it only applies to metal kalim. The Rambam says it applies to all kalim except for cheres. Any kli that touches a dead body or something that's tummy mace applies to any kli, this principle of cherev harehu kechalal applies to. The big discussion in the Rishonim already is how much is a cherev exactly like a chalal? If a nazir comes in contact with a cherev, does he lose his nazirus? Does he have to start over again? There's a Kohen, is a Kohen Muzher from coming into contact with a Cherev. There's a Tosfos in Nazir, Dafnun and Dalet, where Rabbeinu Tam says, yes, a Kohen, a Nazir, loses his Naziris because of his din of Cherev Harik HaChalal. It's just like regular Tamei Meis. And Reb Chaim Kohen in Tosfos says to Rabbeinu Tam, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? I can't go into anybody's house for the rest of my life. Because, says Reb Chaim Kohen, if a Nazir loses his Naziris on it, a Kohen is Muzer on it. So that every Kli in the world must be Tamei Meis, says Reb Chaim Kohen in Tosfos, so I can't go into anybody's house anymore. What are you doing to me? That's why he argues that Nazir is not Muzer, but the main issue is, how much is it like a real mace? Do you need sprinkling of the Efer Paraduma if you come in contact with the Cherev Harik HaChalal? Do you need, is it Metame Ba'oel? These are all machlokas we've shown him, which maybe we'll talk about, probably not, maybe tomorrow if we have time. Anyway, so that's the Ukimta of the Gemara for the Mishnah. We're talking about a Shlishi with a Rishon. With an Av, therefore the Shlishi is becoming a Rishon. Says the Gemara, Umayduchke de Rabbi Yehuda lo'ukme b'desha mateches. Why do we have to come up with such a case? We're only talking about a metal nair, nukma, or according to the Rambam, it's any non-cheres. But again, the Pashas of the Gemara sounds like Rashi and Tosas. Who says, Gemara b'desha mateches? Nukma b'desha cheres. Maybe we're talking about a cheres nair. Right, a regular nair. We're back to the kasha then. If it's a nair shel cheres, then it's only a rishon. So a shlishi, a rishon, make it into a sheni. We know that from the first part of the Mishnah. So my hosif, what's the chiddush? No, you are doing something new. De'ilu hasam tameh v'tameh. De'ilu hacha pasul v'tameh. What's the chiddush? You are, yes, the ultimate. You're making them both into a sheni, but still you're changing the status. And there's a difference between the first case and the second case. Because the first case, what are we talking about? We're talking about basar of kadshim. Basar of kachim. So you have a shlishi into a sheni. So what do we say by kachim? By kachim, there's even a concept called a revi'i latuma. So this tamei meat started off with what we said in the introduction. It's called tamei because it has the potential to make something into a revi'i. And it became a sheni, so it's still called tamei because now it can make something into a shlishi or a revi'i. That was case one. But case two, we're talking about an oil. Rashi explains we can't be talking about hektish oil, because hektish oil is burned separately. We can't be talking about hektish oil. We're obviously only talking about truma oil in Rabbi Akiva's case. Truma oil, so we have a shlishi becoming a sheni. So we said, what's the chiddush? We know that from the first case. No, but the shlishi becoming a sheni in the second case is different, because the shlishi in the second case has no power to be metame anything. Because it's truma. Remember, truma cannot make a revi by hektish. So the truma, the tamei truma, in Rabbi Akiva's case, the tamei oil, yes, is becoming a shlishi to a sheni, which is the same as the first case. But there's a big difference. Its status is changing from pasul to tamei. Remember, pasul was the word that meant it is tamei, but cannot be metamei anything else. So this shlishi is now pasul, it can't be metamei anything else. You're making it into a sheni, which now it can make other things tamei. So that's changing it. So that's what it's being mosif. Fine lamaisa, it's not making it any different. They're both shlishi to shenis, but maybe that's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. You're taking, instead of just going tamei to tamei, you're making something pasul to tamei. It's adding power. Now it could become a carrier. Beforehand it wasn't a carrier. Now it's a carrier so that it can make something else tamei. So why did the Gemara have to come up with this case of an Ershama Teches and the Chiddush of Cherev Harik HaChalal? Just say a regular case of Cheres, and you're making Tamei to Tamei, Pasul to Tamei. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Masisa Kishisei. No, Rava says the Mishnah bothered, the language of the Mishnah didn't work. Because my Arya, the Tani, Ner Shanitva Batamei Mace. Why Dafka did Rabbi Akiva to mention a Ner that became Tamei from a Tamei Mace? That Afatuma. Nisni Nishabeb Sheres. Why did it say a Ner that became Tamei touching a dead insect? Which is also an avatoma. Why dafka did it become tamei meis? It must be something specific to tamei meis. Ela izel davar shachaluka tamaso betumash meis l'sheretz. Which object has a difference between whether it touched a sheretz or touched a tamei meis? Haviomer zeh mateches. That's why we assumed it was mateches. And the chiddush of cherev harik HaChalal, because the Mishnah tipped us off with the language of nitma betamei meis. Period. Amar Rava, Shma Mina Kesaver Rabbi Akiva, Tumas Mashkelon Tamei Achirim Da'oraisa. Rava says that according to Rabbi Akiva, in this whole discussion that we just had, this Rabbi Akiva is the one that said the whole Chiddush about Shemen, it must be that he holds the ability for liquids to be Metame others as a Din Da'oraisa, as we have been assuming, like from the previous Amud. It must be that's what he's assuming. De'isal Kadayla Durabanan, because if it's Durabanan, Michdi, Hi Nair, Micah Mahanyula, Hi Shemen. Because if it's Drabanan, if it's only Drabanan, so then we said, what's this whole issue? That the Nair is going to be Matami the Shemen. But Soas is going to be Matami the Shemin. If it's not giving it any ability to transfer the Tumah, is that really considered a Hosafa Tumah al Tumaso? Michti, so what's Rabbi Akiva worried about? Hai Ner, Maika Mahanyala, Hai Shemin. What's it making the shemen worse? Ila if sule gufa hapasul v'koi, similar to Alex's question from before. If it's just regarding making it tamei itself, and already is tamei. So what's the big deal making it a shlishi into a sheni? The Gemara assumes that it must be that he's also giving it the ability to be matame others on a d'oraisa level. So the Gemara says, Mimai, is that true? That's no raya. Maybe it's a d'rabanan. It can be matami. What do you mean? Just like we said, or on Amun Aleph, the Mishnah might be talking about a d'rabanan level. So to here, who says it has to be talking about a d'araisa level? Maybe even the ability to contract tumah to something else, d'rabanan, is still important. So the Gemara says, imi d'rabanan, if it's to say that it can contract tumah on a d'rabanan level, then you didn't have to say our case. My arya ba'av hatumah. You didn't have to say that this oil, that shlishi, came in contact with a rishon. Afilu b'rishon v'sheni nami t'chila havei. Even if it came in contact with a rishon and a sheni, it is a rishon. What's going on here? There's another din d'rabanan we have to know about. There's a special din d'rabanan that the rabbanan said that any liquid that becomes tamei, even from an av or a rishon or a sheni, even liquid that touches a sheni, it becomes a rishon. That's a din d'rabanan, various reasons given. One reason is that liquids are much more chamer because liquids don't have to become wet in order to become tamei. Others say that it's a gzeira because there are some liquids that are avatuma. There's no food that's avatuma. Some liquids are avatuma. For example, the mashke of a zav. The mashke, any liquid that comes out of a zav, is an avatuma. So we don't want to get mixed up with liquids. So that's why any liquid that is... So some liquids are a rishon l'tuma. So any liquid that becomes tummy becomes a rishon, even if it touches a sheni. So says the Gemara, if you want to see, you're talking about on a drabana level, that liquids is going to, me drabana, going to be able to be with tummy things, so what do you have to come up with a case that it touched the tummy mace? If it touches anything that's tummy, it could be with tummy me drabana. That's the din drabana of liquids always having the status of a rishon. So then, imi drabana, sorry? Even if it touches, well, not shlishi and revi, because that's only by kachim and truma. Even if it touches a sheni, it becomes a rishon. Just going backwards. So even imi drabanan. So my area of avatuma. So why do you have to come up with a case of an avatuma? Afila barishon v'sheni nami. Even if it touches a rishon or a sheni, it's still a tchila, which is a rishon. Zitzan, as the Mishnah says in Para, kol aposelat truma. Anything that would pasel truma, which is up until a sheni, right? Because sheni could still make truma pasul. Mitami mashkin liyoschila. It makes liquids become a rishon. Chutz be tful yom, except for tful yom is a separate type of sheni. If liquid touches tful yom, it doesn't become a rishon. Okay, separate exception. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say it's only drabanan. Elishma mina daraisahi. So it must be, like we said before, this Mishnah is a proof that according to Rabbi Akiva, liquids can be mitami other items on a daraisa level. Okay, we'll stop here. And again, remember, there's a lot of lumdas here. We don't have time for it, but now we're just trying to get for the next week. Important yisodos in Tum and Tara. We shouldn't say, oh, Tum and Tara. We should say look at this as an opportunity to learn something that we're not familiar with, to learn something, a new area of Torah, to become familiar with it. Because we should know Kachem and Tara is like we know the rest if we would just had proper education. So B'ez Hashem, we should give our kids that education. We should be as familiar with this. Then when they come home with a question about Tumas Mashkin and about Hekshel Kabal Tuma, we should be familiar enough to answer it. And also for ourselves, just to become familiar with this area of Torah. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. Today's shiur was Zechanishmas David Tzvi ben Dov Mordechai.